Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers. Shut up! Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, sick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be lost. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders. Shut up! Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Boom! It is cold in Chicagoland. Very cold. It is so cold that I'm so happy that Local 308 is holding a coat drive. Even though we are in the middle of a pandemic, and like this mallet, we have been pulverized economically, and our health. There is no contract. Did you know that? Nope. And we are now 1 year without the contract. This is a live simulcast on our Blog Talk Radio station. We are simulcasting right now and hoping that you are listening or watching, because if you're not listening, you're watching. All right, let's get started. Yesterday, one of our co-organizers visited the local 241 office unannounced to request some financial information, and he was not obliged. However, the president and secretary, the president did say he would get it to him by a certain time. That has not happened. So I made a visit yesterday to the local 308 union office, and I requested salary, union office payroll information. When me and a coworker arrived at the union office, rang the doorbell, waited a while, and I had a feeling that they could probably see it was me on the camera, so they were scrambling. Well, who's going to answer the door? So our beloved president, our new president, Brother Eric Dixon, opened the door, and he looked unhappy. But greeted him nonetheless. How are you doing, Brother President? And he asked, what can I do for you? Yeah, I just like to, request some financial information, get some answers to questions. And he's like what? I'm like, okay. we need a payroll because, you said you had cut the pay. And further on in the discussion, I discovered that, well, he didn't cut the pay. What he did is he requested that they donate part of their pay back to the union. So there is a big difference between the two. Okay, your employer says, or whoever's paying you says, here's your pay. By the way, can you give some of it back? Versus we're going to have to cut your pay. You're not going to get so much money. And this all started because I decided to step in this direction because in his Zoom informational meeting, he had said that the salary, a union payroll, was going to be cut. And when you look at our bylaws, Section 25, there's three subsections that expressly forbid the union officers or president from unilaterally changing salaries, whether you're going to cut them or increase them. It has to be approved by the members. And that's a problem, right? Because there's no union membership meetings, right? Well, there's informational sessions. Oh, well. So he had to quickly change, and thanks to his surrogate, Brother Charlie Peacock, he who used to be a vice president in our union, he changed it from being a salary cut to asking the officers to donate. Very slick, I have to say. Totally unsophisticated, but very slick. And so we're going to have to lay the hammer down. Boom! Right on this lie. You're like, well, why are you so upset about the salaries being cut? It's not. There's multiple issues here. First of all, whose salary, right? And how much? So I talked with him and got some clarification. And according to the Rodney Richmond Agreement, as far as executive board members go, they're going to be paid for lost time. But Local 308 had a little thing to sweeten the pot by giving them a couple percentage higher on top of their pay. So that's going to be eliminated. So that's not bad. At least the executive board is going to get reimbursed for lost time. And that was our concern, is why would you cut the pay so drastic for the board members, and they're not going to get, if they're full time, that's going to screw up with their pension contribution, but that's not the case. They're going to get their lost time. And yes, Leonel, yeah, I see you, brother. It is a travesty. It is. And that's why we are the union, and we have to make our leadership accountable, but we also have to organize action. And speaking of that, February 23rd is the Hour of Power. Look at the flyers. I didn't bring one in front of me. February 23rd, 11 a.m., I invited our president, Brother Eric Dixon, as well. February 23rd, 11, at the 95th Street Terminal, I invited him. It was funny because when we were talking, he said, we're doing a lot here. We're very busy. We're dealing with the coat drive. And I said, oh, speaking of coat drives. speaking of coat drives, here's this flyer. And I gave him the flyer for the Hour of Power. I said, you know, you're invited. We'd love to have you. And he says, what is this? And he says, I said, yeah, we're going to deal with issues, problems with our contract. And he tried to trap me into saying, like, I was being stupid or something, which I am. I'm always being stupid. I'm not. I'm just striving to be informed and intelligent. You know, I'm nothing. So, you know, when these officers try to embarrass me and humiliate me, it just rolls off. I'm like, what's new? Because why is that? Because I have no ideas. And that's what Eric Dixon kept saying. He said twice. He said, you know, if you stop complaining, and what's your solution? What's your solution? And that's what his surrogate, his chief surrogate, Charlie Peacock says too. And I keep telling him, don't you get it? It's a union. It's not about me and my brain or you and your brain, the members. It's the collective. Boom, we have to nail down that fallacy. And that is, the union is not the president. It is not the officers. It is not. It is, in a sense, it has become that way. But the unions that function and the unions that are strong are not based off of a top-down, shut-up-and-obey, be-lucky-you-have-a-job hierarchy. It's based on a grassroots form of organizing, mobilizing. And, by the way, they're going to throw out this word, organize and mobilize. Okay, the difference between the two is important. You mobilize people who are already on board. They're ready to do stuff. You organize people who aren't on board. People you may not even like. You have to find a way to reach them, right? Kind of like sales. Won't get into that right now. But anyways, the president, he read it off. He says, I don't know, the 23rd, I don't know. You know, I might be, you know, it's like, oh, okay. So here the members are volunteering to have a on their off time a rally to fight for hazard pay, sanitized vehicles, facilities, 2-person crew, more full-time jobs and security, paid sick time for all employees in member-controlled unions. And you're thinking you may not have time to go. You'll think about it. Hell no, you should be there. That's quite embarrassing. That if you and Keith Hill don't show up, because if the press comes and needs to talk, y'all have to talk. So, anyways, and then you know, he began. He kind of told me he was perturbed with me, but he was trying to engage with me. And I said, look, I'd like to see these financial records, right? So you're gonna have to ask the secretary. So I said, oh, Sister Secretary, I see you there. You know, she said, Sister Jack, can I ask you for? And she runs. She just walks off. And then she told me. She said, "I said, Sister Jack, can I please talk to you?" And I kept saying, "Please." I played, "Please, please, please." She said to me, "The secretary of our union, who we pay $135,000 to, okay?" She said, "I can't talk to her about anything." So those of you who are watching this, if you could do me a favor and find out, I'm going to email her, of course, and I'm going to start a paper trail. And, you know, Sister Secretary, you can't keep blowing me off like this. I mean, come on now. Now next time I see you, I'm going to bring a bouquet of flowers and try to, you know, sweeten you up and try to make amends. But, you know, you keep blowing me off like this. This paper trail is going to catch up with you, and it's not going to look very good when the international secretary and the Illinois Public Labor Relations Board starts inquiring about what's going on there. So if you would please, you know, she wouldn't let me make, and then she said I had to make an appointment. So I said, well, let's make the appointment right now. She refused. So it was fast. And she's like, you know, and then, oh, I forgot to tell you. She said, you got to ask the president. I said, I asked the president. He told me to ask you. it's just really sad. So, Anyways, the president told me, you know, he can't just have anyone come in here and just, you know, start demanding things and taking things. And I'm like, look, you work for us now. You're not my supervisor anymore. And he was my supervisor. In our union, we have managers, and then we have supervisors. And the supervisors report to the managers, and the supervisors are in our union. So it's kind of like having a boss, but it's kind of good, too, because they look out for us and they help us stay out of too much trouble. But usually. So, and he's like, he was accusing me of pushing, you know, fighting, and he hates to fight, and it's in the preamble, you know, we should seek brotherhood. And I agree. And I said, you know, you're right, but I'm not seeking to fight. Just seeking to hold you accountable and help you do your job and push you to serve us. Don't be offended by that. You know, you work for us. And, you know, the whole thing about donation versus salary cut. I mean, come on. I mean, that kind of thing is, you know, some people see that and hear that and they think you're trying to scam them. You're not trying to scam us, are you? Boom. So it looks like I'm not going to be able to get these reports just by asking verbally. So I'm going to be sending some emails to the secretary and the president to do that. Now, as far as the contract, so you see that photo I put. If you're watching us on Blog Talk Radio, you'll see that photo. Yeah, you'll see that photo of the some of the 241 and 308 union officers. And let me open the chat here on Blog Talk. And you know, this is a secret meeting. The members are not involved. And I was telling you, I was trying to explain to him, you know, you don't have to work a whole lot, you know, to gather contract proposal items. Because he was saying, you know, yeah, he's getting them, and some of them are good, and some of them are the same or duplicates. I said, look, a year ago, the coalition started an entire public Google spreadsheet that organizes all of these contract proposals from members on the bus and the rail side. And we've been encouraging feedback, but you all, the officers, aren't supporting it. It's very efficient. It's public. It's transparent. People can see what's going on, and you could interact with us with it. And it was all done by volunteers. I'm the editor of it, so I did most of the work on my own time. And I'm not asking for pay, and I don't want pay, and I would refuse any pay. But yeah, I think you told me that. Yeah, I told you about it many times. You know, and that's the problem with a lot of our officers is they just want to be in control of everything. And when someone comes up with something that is efficient and helpful, it's like they feel threatened by it. I don't want your goddamn position. I want you to do your job. And so does everybody else. And so when people offer things to help you, you should use it. You should use it. And so from the contract proposal items, as you can see in the link on ChicagoTransitWorker.com, we created our own contract. So we're like leaps and bounds ahead of what the union officers are doing. So it's not a boast. It's just saying union officers, use it. Use it. But what I'm discovering is that they just don't want that. They don't want virtual membership meetings. In fact, after the pandemic, from what President Dixon was telling me, they're going to have in-person meetings again, but there's not going to be any discussion about virtual union meetings. And he told me whatever information I get from financial, I can't share, take it off the property. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, you're bossing me around, first of all. Okay, who's the boss of the union? The members, okay? Second of all, the members should decide if when we request financial information, can we and share it with members? And so, you know, you can't just make up whatever you want to make up. Let's look at Leonel, you would think that since members can opt out of the union, maybe the president and his lackeys would change their ways and actually become more interactive with its paying members, but that's not the case. And that's the tragedy. And I didn't get to talk to him about that. But do you know, brother, I don't know if you're still listening, Leonel, but when I visited bus garages, that's local 241, I've met so many coworkers that are full-time, AMPART, full-time, that have opted out of paying dues, you know, and that is really, really sad, you know, and you're right. They have not at all humbled themselves. Our secretary especially is becoming absolutely intransigent. You know, and that's why the paperwork is starting, you know, because we just, you don't want to reason with people who are coming to you in person. So we got to bring in an outside entity. We got to involve the ATU International, and then we've got to involve the Illinois government. This isn't good. So, okay, I see you there, brother. So good morning, Michelle. And so just so y'all know, we're also simulcasting a Blog Talk Radio. Had about 8 minutes left on that. So anyways, this conversation was starting to break down, and the president was absolutely, he really seemed overwhelmed. I have to say, he seemed, of course, he was agitated with me, but he's got a lot to do. And he was basically pleading with me, you know, I've just started, and nobody gave Ken Franklin, his predecessor, this much hell. And I was like, no, I certainly did. but there are many that did, not just me. But, you know, it's like, look, I don't want you. What I want you to do is serve us. And you don't have to do all this thinking for us. He's like, I got these ideas. I got these plans. I'm doing things. I'm like, no. We do things. We're a union. And, you know, we're not going to be successful if we block out the members. And he's like, yeah, but we can't have union meetings because of the ATU president and the mayor. The mayor doesn't want us meeting in person. And ATU president says that membership meetings, we cannot, virtual meetings cannot count as membership meetings. I'm like, okay, so you do what you want when it comes to the bylaws, right? You know, you had the inauguration, you violated without the membership, the violation of Section 10 of the bylaws. You went and cut salaries. Oops, I mean, made the officers donate part of their salary back. And that includes their office manager. I mean, give me a break. She's not even an employee of the CTA. She's been there for years. I mean, she's been through, I think she's been there since the 2000s. You know, you're going to cut her pay? And she basically runs that place? You know, so it's just messed up. But you go ahead and you just do whatever you want with the bylaws. And then you yell, but you whine and complain that I'm just complaining. Look, man, just have virtual union meetings. Just let's put it to work. So, you know, let's just do it. Because the members they're not going to care if they're not involved. And I'm not talking about parties. I'm not talking about informational meetings. I'm talking about, Brother President, when you, and this is what I was saying, when you are making decisions, collect ideas and feedback from us, and then we vote. And then you go forward with what we want. It doesn't have to be a meeting. You can use the internet for it. We can do all kinds of things. It's very possible. You hire a service to do it. Let me tell you about democracy. Now, COVID-19 has decimated us, right? in many ways. And the most egregious thing is that it has robbed us of our entitlement as union members to have meetings, to democratically control our unions, okay? Even if you didn't go to, if you've never been to a union meeting, I guarantee you, if you go, you're going to learn something. And if you want to get something done and you got enough people with you, you can get it done. Yes. So this is an opportunity for Eric Dixon, Keith Hill, all the presidents of the ATUs to change things for the better, for the members. Because I guarantee you, dear presidents, even you, International President John Costa, if you're watching, the union will only be made stronger if the members can democratically control it. We're not a bunch of idiots. We don't have to defer to a political party, the Democrats, the Republicans, whoever. We should defer to the members. And so Michelle is saying, so the International won't let locals have Zoom meetings, but the International will meet by Zoom with the president. Exactly. Exactly. And Leonora is saying, if kids can still attend school through laptop, so can transit union president and his members. Thank you. And here's the other thing that baffled me. Our unions are meeting. Our union leadership is meeting with executive board members and making decisions through Zoom. They're doing arbitrations. They're doing punishment, so-called discipline, with management and arbitrators through Zoom, through the internet. And I'm trying to tell, okay, fine, you don't want to have no membership meetings, no virtual membership meetings. It's not going to happen. So can we just enhance the steward base? Look, that's something we got to do, but we can't just do it. Okay, can we just follow the bylaws then about the stewards and have the stewards? You got the classes, right? They're coming up, right? It's supposed to be. He's like, yeah, but, you know, we got to wait for it to open up. The mayor doesn't want us meeting. We can only have so many people. I'm like, so we can't do virtual steward classes? No, because it's got to be hands-on. And, like, hands-on? What, are we wrestling? I mean, that's what I said. I mean, are we wrestling in steward classes? You could have class. You could have steward classes online. He says, yeah, but we got to do role play. And this, I'm like, yeah, put the people on Zoom. This one's going to pretend to be the manager. This one's going to be the union rep. This is going to be the employee. And they're going to, everybody watch how they handle this. Like, Blog Talk live stream is about to cut off. And it'll continue for another 15 minutes after that. This live stream here on Facebook is going to keep running. So Michelle says, I know of locals that were meeting by FCC free conference call before it got blown up. Wow. Oh, wow, I didn't even know it was blown up. Oh, my God. So democracy, brother president, sister secretary, vice president. And I have to say, I was grateful. At least the second vice president greeted me. She wagged her finger at me, you know, like naughty, naughty. But at least she was cordial towards me. And I do very much appreciate that. And I tell you, these vice presidents, they do their job with these grievances and arbitration. But when it comes to organizing, our union is very weak. And that's up to the members. So this democracy, union democracy, all right? And I got this from this really good book. And, Brother President, you should read it. This is page, chapter 18. Union democracy is essential for the simple reason that members have the fundamental right to control their own organization. It is their union, so they have a right to run it. Where's my hammer? Boom! All right. But democracy, ooh, and I got, at least we have a coat drive, right? Ooh, I'm driving the point home. with my hammer. Get it? But democracy is essential for another reason, because democratic unions are more effective for building power in the workplace and society. Why is this so? Because members, the ultimate source of a union's power in democracy, is the best way to galvanize the members. So if the members are alienated, disconnected, not organized, even ambivalent and hostile toward the union, and they are on the verge of or already engaged in the withholding of their money for dues, we are doomed. Members who have a voice and a vote are more likely to take the union seriously. Drive everybody shiver together and bam, hit your hammer on the facts, baby. Read that third paragraph here. Members who have a voice and a vote are more likely to take the union seriously, offer suggestions, and answer leaders' calls for mobilization. So, Brother President Eric, Brother President Hill, you may not like me, you may not like Brother Andre, you not may like this other brother, this other sister, whatever, but we have a voice, the others have a voice, and when you include those voices, maybe something we say, the other members will say, nah, we're not going to choose that, but everyone has a voice, see, and a vote, and you don't make the decisions without us, because when you do that, you do what? You pull away the union power because you keep it all for yourself. You hide it in your hats. Let me see how much power I can stick in my head. No, it doesn't work that way. The members are more likely to develop into new leaders. And broader leadership means good ideas percolating through the union, percolating, new ideas percolating. And I lost my place. There we go. They have less reliance on a few increasingly burdened people, which kind of sounds like our vice president's department, frankly, and some of the executive board members, they just seem absolutely overwhelmed, in my opinion. And a greater capacity to inspire members to action. And do you notice how the same old leadership keeps being recycled? I mean, look at that. I'm sorry, Brother Eric Dixon, I got to use you as an example. But you can change. I believe in you. I believe in your potential. I don't believe in you the way you function right now, but I think your potential is great. And that is, he used to be a vice president, and he proudly takes credit for crafting the CSA program, which is permanent part-time jobs that have kept members in poverty. And many of them are now pissed off and no longer paying dues. So, you know, we need to include everybody's voice. True democracy takes work. Most workers aren't storming the union hall doors seeking democracy for democracy's sake. If someone else could do it for us, if a benevolent dictator leader could pound on the table and get us a good contract, most of us would prefer that route. The problem is that no union leader is powerful alone. Eric Dixon, you are not powerful alone. Keith Hill, you're not powerful alone. Officials have no leverage against the employers if they cannot mobilize the members and their supporters in the community to disrupt business as usual. the George Do It model does not work. And that's what you all keep pushing, is you keep saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You ain't doing nothing. We need full-time jobs, and we need to clean these trains and buses and facilities, sanitize them so the people will come back and ride. Okay? They're not going to do that if it's not clean. All right? They're not going to do that if it's not consistent. And the unions are the ones that push for that. It's our job. And we have to organize for it. And when it says democracy is hard work, that's right. We're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. You're going to let people down. You're going to disappoint people. But never quit trying. And don't be afraid to admit that you've been at fault. And making democracy real means more than honoring those rights and living by the rules, however. Unions can go further by encouraging a democratic culture. They can open the union or newsletter to opposing views, sponsor debates on issues, give all members access to membership contact information so it's easy to campaign for change, and encourage members to challenge leaders and offer alternative ideas. And that's what you don't want, but you know you need it. You have to be challenged. And when we're challenging you, stop taking it personal. You're so, like, it's so negative. You're always negative. A coworker said, I'm a bashing the union. I love to bash the union. Look, I'm Bashir, not Bashir. And I'm not bashing anything. I'm calling on members to hold our leadership accountable. And if that's bashing, how in the hell are we going to make it through the next 3 years of the Dixon administration? If he can't take the heat, and if the secretary can't take the heat, we're in trouble. This is not their family business. This is our union. Local 308, Local 241 belongs to the members. It doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to us. And if I have an idea, it deserves to go through the membership. And if another member has an idea, it deserves to go through the membership. And the president needs to honor what the members want to do. No excuses. Finally, rules may need to be changed to create ways for members to exercise leadership from below. This could include stewards, councils, and officers who stay on the job. And that's another thing. The full-time officers, I'm sorry, but you've been out of work for too long. In the workers' contract, and you all can see that, we actually have a provision, an addition, that allows full-time union officers to work one day on their time, not union time, for the Chicago Transit Authority or PACE. That will keep them in the real, and that's important. You shouldn't just go into office, the union office, and then disappear and forget what it was like wearing fancy suits and dresses. Well, I think that's it. I hope that you found this informative. I will be submitting emails today to our officers and starting the paper trail. They no longer have a forum for us to speak out and question them because there's no union meeting and because the virtual informational meetings hold no merit as a meeting. So they can basically say whatever the hell they want. They can lie, basically, just like our president said. I'm going to say it's a lie, but he said, you know, he's cutting salaries, but actually it was a donation. So it wasn't a violation, but whatever, you see. But we have to stand up. It's our union. Remember that, everybody. I may be the boogeyman. IMAB, what is it? Grandstanding, renegade, undercover boss, safety manager. But you are a member. And you need to stand up and speak up for the truth and for what is right. And when you don't know what's going on in your union office, and you have no say in what the president and the secretary and the vice president does in our name, you don't have a union. You have another layer of company management. See y'all February 23rd. Also at the Chicago TransitWorker.com website in the reform section, we're building up for a virtual organizing session. So please go there and sign up. Click on the reform button at ChicagoTransitWorker.com. I think that's it. Yeah, Blog Talk ran out of time, or is just about to run out of time. Got a couple more minutes. Let's see if there's any questions. I might have missed a call. Okay. And it looks like that's it for now. Also, we have a newsletter, finally got the news, and this is a newsletter. It has information to help members understand their rights in the contract and the law, and also how to organize. We need distributors, people who want to pass it out in parking lots or break rooms. Never pass it out in the work area, because that could lead to punishment. You don't want that. But it is within your right to leave flyers of anything in the break rooms, give it to coworkers who are off duty, in the parking lots, on the shared public-private right of way. And the other thing you should know about is the ATU Constitution. All right, make sure that your union steward or union rep gives you one, and make sure that you also look it up online at the Know Your Rights button at ChicagoTransitWorker.com. You can actually get a PDF of the book. We also have the Local 241 bylaws, the Local 308 bylaws, and they are text searchable PDFs. So you can find out everything that you need to know. We also have the contract, the expired contract, and the workers' contract. And we have things about Illinois labor law, how you can file an unfair labor practice. And we have forms, reports, at the reports button at ChicagoTransitWorker.com. Is there a union officer that you want to commend or criticize? Use this forum. If you want it to be public, we'll make it public. If not, we'll send it to the union office. Same with any managers who might be giving you a hard time or might be violating the contract. We are the union. We have to stand up and help each other. Thanks so much. We'll be signing off.